that Muggsy was the one. And the Bobcat years were painfully long. And I was for the signing of Kimba. But then we beat the lottery's long odds. If he can be it, then we can do it. If we just believe it, he'll lead us to it. I believe he's our guy. I believe he can bring back the hype. I hate that some couldn't watch him play, win some games so he will stay. I believe he can score. I see him knocking down Jordan's door. I believe he's our guy. I believe he's that guy. I believe he's our guy.
Sports Radio FNC, 5 o'clock hour. Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. That was the final play of the Hack Song of the Week. Go ahead and give us your grades on it. 704-570-9610 on the text line or on the Diamonds Direct Twitter feed at Hacksaw Helbig. Stan, I have no idea why it's good. I just know it's good. I just know it's a whole vibe that Hacksaw brought in this song.
That's the best way to describe it. It's a vibe. It resonates with me.
Well, I think this is going to be a healing moment on the show, because we're going to welcome in, as we do every Friday at 5 p.m., Hacksaw Helbig. And Hacksaw, welcome back to the show. What inspired you in your soul to bring an R. Kelly homage about LaMelo Ball? What inspired you to bring this triumphant song to air?
Well, I can tell you, it wasn't Norfleet's narratives, which you can vote right now for the gold brick.
Hmm.
All right, we start this off with a shots fired, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to do it at least once.
Have I issued a bigoma today? Let's do that here now. Okay?
I think you did. Probably to me. But go ahead and give another.
Let's just give a double bigoma. One to Nick and one to Hacksaw, just in cuz.
I had a whole song written, and then, you know, Charlotte had to just decide on Wednesday, let's put out some news about him being the, you know, Rookie of the Year. So that's what it was.
It was.
There's
it
your
wasn't
behind
just
the music stand.
It wasn't just Charlotte, by the way. It was the NBA that did it.
Yeah, that's how the voting works.
Stan?
No, I know. Yeah, but yeah.
Stan, I turn the show over to you. What grade do you give the Hack Song of the Week?
You know, Hacksaw has a grade, and then he has a way of opening his mouth, and it impacts the grade on a weekly basis. But I'm going to I've learned to separate art from artist. How appropriate, given that that's an R. Kelly track. Neither here nor there. I'm being serious right now. Hacksaw, I think that the lyrics were there. It was very topical. I think that's about the extent of your range. You didn't go over that. I really like what you brought right there. That's a solid A performance in the Stan Fleet book.
That's all you.
React today.
Because if you react any other way, it's going to get dropped. So just stay right there.
Just give the man a thank you. All right. So I think we need more hack R&B.
Agreed.
That's just me.
Absolutely agree.
I felt you touched into something there.
Genre opened to him.
We didn't know a German could croon like that, nor did we want to know. But you brought it. I'm going to go. I just keep saying things. I'm going to give you an A++. That really made me laugh. And your singing was so bad, it was good.
Well, I'm glad you guys liked my Gordon Hayward tribute.
Gordon Hayward tribute?
Yeah, it was a joke. I wrote it last night. I was up all night about it.
Just get to it.
No, thank you, guys. Also, I'm sorry, Stan, but no, you didn't make any effort. I'm sorry, just as someone that doesn't make effort every day in his life, you made no effort, okay?
Hmm. All right. That was Hacksaw. Thanks, Hacksaw.
Double my goma to him on the way out.
I just don't understand how it's just turned into his only existence now. His only reason for being on the station is to troll you for some reason. And he's not good at trolling people. He's just not.
You know what this is really about? Hacksaw, he just misses me. He misses what we had. He's having a difficult time with the set of the circumstances. I'm used to this.
What did you guys have?
They always come back.
A socks-off relationship?
Whoa, don't go too far. You know what, Billy? I normally don't do this, so let me get you an Amazon-size Bagoma to you, sir.
That big, huh?
By the way, Amazon Prime Day coming up here in the near future, Monday and Tuesday, from what we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we've had a lot to talk about with LaMelo this week because of him being voted the NBA Rookie of the Year. You sent in a graphic on the DMs today where Colin Cowherd was talking about the top 10 players to build around in the NBA, and for the first time I can ever remember a Charlotte Hornet being discussed or be put on such a prestigious list by somebody like Colin. LaMelo Ball was ranked number 9. Only 8 other players in the NBA that Colin thinks are more apt to build around.
Under the age of 25.
It didn't say it in the graphic.
I put that in the message. If you would read the message, it would say
that. I will not do that. You know I can't read. I went to an Ivy League school. But I look at this list, and what Colin's really saying is, here are the 10 candidates to be the future face of the NBA. They are Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, Zion Williamson, Jamal Murray, LaMelo Ball at 9, and then De'Aaron Fox. And I think if we ask, like, who has the best chance to shoot up this list, I think it's between, if we talk about the best guys in the back six here, Donovan Mitchell has the best chance to get into the top three because I think he can win a championship this year.
I can't believe he's not in the top three.
Yeah, that I love Ja Morant, but that Donovan has accomplished more than Ja has in their respective careers to this point.
Donovan Mitchell should be second on this list behind Luka Doncic.
I agree with you. And I actually think the top three should be Luka Doncic, Donovan Mitchell, and Devin Booker.
And then Donovan Mitchell, and then Devin Booker.
And I think Trey is 4.
If we're talking about to build around, Devin Booker 3, think Trey is 4. Wow. That Jason Tatum, I'm going to put Book in front of Tatum, but it's close. It's right there neck and neck. And then Trey, I'm going to put Zion at 5 before Trey.
So when we talked with LaMelo yesterday, and if you guys haven't listened to that, you can listen at WFNZ. I also wrote a story on it for WFNZ saying that LaMelo's Rookie of the Year is not going to be his last milestone or last award in the NBA because the guy's just fantastic. But when we had LaMelo on yesterday, we asked him about what do you need? Like what do you think this team is missing and what do you need?
I think everybody knows we've been looking for a big, or coach has been talking about his stuff. So probably be looking for a big, I would assume.
That's the immediate need. And I think that's the easy answer for LaMelo to give. But I think what LaMelo will find out, if he doesn't already know it, is LaMelo's going to have to add somebody who used to be capable of being on this list, who is aged out, is in an imperfect situation, and is looking to link up with somebody.
One name comes to the top.
What do you say?
One name to me, just listening to you describe that. I have a name in mind. You were going somewhere, though.
But no, go ahead. Give me that name, because I'll hear it.
I'm going to tell you the perfect one is Bradley Beal. Mm. Bradley Beal beside LaMelo is a championship backcourt.
You're right. I think Bradley Beal and him together is very special. I also think when we evaluate this, the options going forward, you need to evaluate price versus age of the player versus skill set of the player. The price will be James Harden-esque for Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
the age and injury history of Bradley Beal is the only part of this that scares me. Because the game, Bradley Beal's shooting ability and overall scoring ability based off of LaMelo's skill set as a facilitator, pass, vision, transition, would be absolutely transcendent.
So we're going to have to pay for somebody. And you're like me. We try and be mindful, even though it's not our money and Michael Jordan has plenty of it. We try and do a responsible job of managing the Hornets' budget. The bottom line is they know it too. They're going to have to pay more money than Gordon got paid to get somebody better than Gordon here. So it's identifying, to your point, Devin Booker's not leaving Phoenix for Charlotte. So it's like, okay, who is you like a Zach LaVine? Zach is probably the most realistic option. I'm off of Oladipo because of the injuries. I think about a dream Bradley Beal. Like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are clearly going to be linked together for a while in Boston. We're running out of options here.
So, Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine comes here. And let's say it's not for Gordon, but it's a Terry, it's a this, that, and the other. But you have to give up a lot. But you don't have to give up Gordon, LaMelo, to get him here. What is that roster that I just said, LaVine, and then you have to pay him, LaVine, LaMelo, and Gordon, how good can that team be? Because I think that those two guards together plus Gordon, assuming that you address the center position, I think that can be a team that goes to the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's where my head went. And not knowing who the rim runner is.
Yep. Cautiously optimistic. Or, sorry, that's being, like, cautious in saying what LaMelo's ceiling is. That's being cautious. That's before he learns to be a better scorer. That's before, like, the defender stuff comes out. I think LaVine, LaMelo, and Gordon absolutely gets you to a Eastern Conference Finals if everybody's healthy. 704-570-9610. Colin Coward calls LaMelo Ball one of the 10 players under 25 in the NBA.
Had him ranked ninth.
To build around... what are we learning about? Like, what do you guys want to see as the next piece around LaMelo Ball? Dream big. More on that on Sports Radio FNC. FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. And the big day, we've got your opportunity to vote on the Jim Solania Gold Brick Ceremony at WFNZ. Vote on the candidates. If you didn't hear them, we didn't post them today because it's been a very, very busy day. But Chet is a candidate. Booty is a candidate. Norfleet Narratives is a candidate. Bro is a candidate. We'll play the winner coming up after What You're Burning On in the end of the show segment at 20 minutes. But, Stan,
no, man.
The big trade that went down in the NBA today, Kemba Walker being sent to Oklahoma City by the Boston Celtics, and it actually happened when Mac and Bone were on air, and they were talking with Paul Biancardi, longtime college basketball coach, ESPN basketball analyst, and here's what he had to say.
As great as a player as he is, you have needs at other positions on the court. And so now you're looking at, okay, who can we move along that still has tremendous value in the game? And Kemba Walker, bad knee and all, still has great value in the game.
And so literally, after the Paul Biancardi interview aired this morning, Kemba Walker was traded in what is essentially a salary dump. And what's wild to me is, like, if I'm Sam Presti, and I think Sam Presti, Oklahoma City Thunder GM, is like the best GM in the NBA in terms of wheeling and dealing. I think he's just brilliant. And I think what he did to start by drafting Harden, Westbrook, and KD proves
Jeff
that he
Green.
Can use those assets in the right way. Jeff Green's another great drop there. So I look at Sam Presti, and I think he looked at Boston and said, I can get an all-star caliber player when he's healthy, and a first-round pick, and swap seconds for Al Horford, who does nothing for my young team right now.
They literally benched Al Horford We talked about this when the Hornets went there. Mm-hmm. They benched Al Horford for like the last 40 games, bro. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to move Al anyway.
And from Boston's side, the Brad Stevens thinking here is that Brad is going to use the extra money freed up both about, this year and next.
About $30 million. Mm-hmm.
About 30. That now that's over the next couple years. But this year, it only saves like $5 million. And it saves them between the luxury tax, essentially. It gets them below the luxury tax, and they're going to save that money and try and bring back Evan Fournier.
Yes.
And it just, to me, it goes against... I'll be honest, I think Brad Stevens got ripped off. I think what we saw today is that Brad Stevens, the GM, has a learning curve. And I think he just made the Boston Celtics worse to bring back a good, not great player. And you don't have the financial wherewithal this year to get a player of Kemba's ilk in free agency to pair with Tatum and Brown. And so they're going to run into the same problem they did this year, which is that two of the three together, Kemba, Tatum, and Brown, two of the three together is not nearly as impactful as three, all three guys together and healthy. I think Brad Stevens got ripped off.
See, Brad Stevens and Sam Presti, they're boys. Mm-hmm. So I think this was more about Sam Presti taking Kemba off their hands, and Brad Stevens was willing to throw him a bone to do so. Now, maybe that comes back to Brad Stevens down the road, but right now, he wanted Kemba off enough. So I think, and let me take it this way, I think in Brad Stevens' mind, he envisions a healthy Tatum and Brown, re-sign Fournier, Al Horford now put some pressure on Robert Williams, and he solidifies that front court, and then you just try and make that work in the East. If everything stays the same with that group, that's a top four team in the East.
I don't think so. Now, let me put it this way. I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are great players. But for a really long time, what I think has made Boston a really good basketball player is their ability to develop role players next to those young guys. Right? Guys like Jay Crowder. Guys like Marcus Smart. Right? And to maximize those guys coming from other places. Isaiah Thomas was a role player in Phoenix. He was just star and a stud in Boston. They haven't done that the last couple years. While Tatum and Brown individually have developed to the best versions of themselves last year that we'd ever seen of them, Marcus Smart's taken a step back. Right? All the young guys that they've drafted, Neesmith and Grant Williams and all the guys, Langford, the kid from Indiana, all the kids that they drafted haven't developed into that next great role player. I look at Boston as a trap job. I think, so the report from Woj today, Stan, mm-hmm. was that Ime Udoka, Darvin Ham of Milwaukee, Chauncey Billups of the Clippers, they're amongst the head coaching candidates who Boston hopes to interview for a second time, and that the Celtics search continues to focus on the assistant ranks.
And go ahead, finish your thought.
So I know that's a lot about money because they're paying Brad Stevens a lot of money to go ahead and be the GM. I think this is a trap job. I think the expectations, much like they were for Kemba Walker, are going to be unrealistic for an assistant coach, first-time head coach going in there with, by the way, who's a first-time executive in Brad Stevens.
See, I think when the Brad Stevens move came, when Danny Ainge resigned and Brad Stevens decided he wanted to switch over and kick upstairs, one of the points I brought up was Brad Stevens was not going to bring in a coach that was more accomplished or any threat to what Brad Stevens was not able to do. I also thought that as Brad Stevens was given a chance as a guy that, you know, didn't grow up in the NBA culture, that he would go get somebody else that's kind of like him. In other words, not a retread, a first timer. So this makes sense to me. I spoke with a longtime NBA former coach, general manager, personnel man in the NBA last night via text. I asked him, give me the best job in the NBA. And he said, but it's between two because the Milwaukee job isn't open yet. He said the two are Dallas and Boston. And I was like, okay, like, do you trust Brad Stevens? He said, it doesn't matter if you trust Brad Stevens or not. You're walking into the door You're walking in the door with two all-stars that are in their early 20s, early to mid-20s, in an environment, healthy fan base, resources to spend, and a franchise that has historically been able to lure free agents. He's like, bro, that's about as good as it gets.
I think that's a valid point. And let me put it this way. I think I'm in the minority. But because of the machinations, because of – and I'll be honest. The Kemba trade is impacting my thoughts on Brad Stevens as a GM to start out. He took a bad contract, but a really good player when healthy, and he spun him into nothing. Not he spun him into something lesser. He spun him into nothing. And I know – like – Isherod Blakely of the Bleacher Report was on with us.
NBA
and,
writing.
And he talked about how they love Moses Brown, who's the young big that was traded here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I understand that. And Moses might end up being a good player, but, like, that's a mite. Like, that's not even like – like, they didn't trade Kemba Walker for a Marcus Smart type. They traded him for a – he might be a useful big, and that might be okay, while giving up their first-round pick and the best player in the deal, while taking on a guy in Al Horford who's relatively useless at this point in his career.
But you hinted at it earlier. The kicker there is Brad Stevens must really love him some Evan Fournier, who came over to Boston from Orlando. That's the only thing that makes sense. I'm willing to take a lesser package back to unload the Kemba contract to be able to retain. So if you look at their roster – Smart plays the one. You get Brown at the two, Fournier at the three, Tatum at the four, Al Horford at the five. That's a top four roster in the East for sure.
I'm not going to lock it in. I'm going to make a strong prediction right now.
Okay.
When you and I are having conversations about the NBA in 1 year, when we're doing a podcast doing this show, or when you and I are just talking off air, whatever the form is, what we're going to be talking about is the Charlotte Hornets finished ahead of the Boston Celtics. I think the Kemba deal is a step back for this year. And I think maybe there's a chance, if Brad Stevens doesn't completely muck it up, that in a year's time they have a chance to do the free agency thing and put somebody next to them. But I think this next year, Boston's going to take a step back.
If you're asking me who's going to finish higher in the seeding next year, It's a little premature. Let me see who they get to go coach this bunch.
So you don't want to be premature. That's what I'm hearing. You've got a fear of being premature.
Well, no, I don't have a fear because that's not an issue for your boy. But what I'm saying is, in terms of this projection for this team, let me see who they get to coach this bunch. But roster-wise, that's a better roster than what the Hornets have right now.
704-570-9610. With the Kemba Walker trade and the situation in Boston, who's your best guess that will have a better seeding next year in the playoffs, the Charlotte Hornets or the Boston Celtics? It's less about being high on the Hornets, and it's more about being very, very low on the Boston Celtics and where they are right now. But you guys still have time. You can vote on the best moment from the show this week. The Gold Brick candidates are up to be voted on. Bro, Norfleet Narratives, Booty, or Chet. Vote on that now, and we are so excited to announce the return of Sky Show Fireworks this 4th of July. Since 1976, there's no better way to celebrate the 4th of July than with family, friends, Charlotte Knights baseball, and the biggest and best 4th of July fireworks show in the Southeast. It's the return of Sky Show, sponsored by Audi Charlotte and Universal Windows Direct, Sunday, July 4th at Truist Field in Uptown. Visit WFNZ.com for details. What you burning on in an NBA playoff preview next on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Final segment of the show. Big thanks to Chuck Cooperstein of the Dallas Mavericks and Isherod Blakely of Bleacher Report for joining us. Stan, we got some breaking news about Game 7 between Milwaukee and Brooklyn. As expected, Kyrie Irving will miss Game 7 in Brooklyn tomorrow night. We knew that was going to happen. We didn't know. We had a strong suspicion that that was going to happen, but suddenly that adds a level of intrigue here that it is James Harden and Kevin Durant versus Giannis and Chris Middleton in Game 7. Winner gets to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a half of James Harden and Kevin Durant and the Barclays Center crowd versus a guy that's all defensive NBA in Drew Holiday and two All-Stars. Milwaukee should win this game. I have not looked at the Vegas odds, but the formula is there. Now, if they mess around and start, I don't want to say tiptoeing, but if you give Brooklyn an opportunity, Kevin Durant could erupt.
So it's basically a pick 'em from what I'm looking at right now. It's Brooklyn favored by half a point.
Mm.
Here's what's interesting. The Basketball Power Index, which was alarmingly in favor of Brooklyn in Game 5, which Brooklyn then won, is alarmingly in favor of Brooklyn again. 60%
wow.
in favor. The matchup predicts a 60% chance that Brooklyn wins this game. And I hate to say it, but I agree with it. Until Milwaukee, until Giannis, and I'm going to be straight with this, until Giannis can go on the road in this environment against a team with two superstars, and Chris Middleton's great, he's not a superstar, until he can go on the road in that environment, and specifically in this series, he's been blown out twice in Brooklyn. And then in Game 5, it was you blew a lead. You were blowing them out in their building, and you blew a double-digit lead. Until he proves that's not who they are on the road in Brooklyn, I'm sorry, that's who I got to think they are in this game.
I don't like Chris Middleton's production in the playoffs on the road. There's a pretty significant dip in his production. Maybe dropping almost a 40 spot last night will get him in some sort of rhythm. I'm also a little bit uncomfortable if I'm going for Milwaukee. James Harden, that hammy appears to be loosening up. Towards the end of that game, there were about 2-3 times in there where I saw him get that signature step back going. James Harden started getting the groove offensively, and Milwaukee's going to have a problem. I just think Milwaukee has the advantage because they have more bodies that they can throw at KD, and I do believe fatigue for Kevin Durant. I mentioned 0-for-2 from the free throw line, clearly just two attempts, and the 3 assists to 7 turnovers tells me something.
All right, we also have 2 more Game 6s tonight in the NBA. Is that Game 7 is tomorrow night. We've got Philly in Atlanta. With Atlanta having the 3-2 lead, then we've got the Jazz and Clippers in L.A. with L.A. having the 3-2 lead. I don't know, man. I don't trust the 76ers anymore after the last two games with the way that they can seemingly turn it off and turn it on. I'll go with Philadelphia, but I don't feel great about that. Neither does Vegas. They give Philly's only a 3-point favorite in this. And then I'm going to go with the Jazz. I'm going to go both road teams again because I don't buy that Paul George and what he did in Game 5. I don't think that's the truth. I think both of these road teams can get it to 7, at which point they're going to be playing in front of the home crowd.
Yeah, I don't trust Philly. I think Philly's cooked. Atlanta's in a groove. Nate McMillan is coaching his rear end off. That home crowd tonight in Atlanta will be as raucous an in-arena environment as any team in the league. It's going to be a problem in there tonight. And if that crowd gets juiced up and it comes down to a late and they, you know, Ben Simmons has to make a shot or Joel Embiid, who missed 2 free throws in Game 5 at the end of the game, I just don't trust Philly late. Tobias Harris hides when the game is on the line, even though he's making well over $100 million. I'm with Atlanta. I think Atlanta closes it out tonight, and I'm with the Utah Jazz.
All right, guys. With that, it is time for last call. You guys have just 2 minutes left to vote at WFNZ on the Jim Solania Gold Brick candidates, Bro, Norfleet Narratives, a beauty, and Chet will bequeath the award winner as best moment of the show before the end of the segment here. But it is time for last call. Get in, 704-570-9610. It can be anything but politics. Whatever you're burning on here on a Friday. Fleet, real quick, buddy, what you burning on?
Oh, man, can I do like three small ones real quick? All right, real quick. Bang.
Price's chicken. Again?
Yeah. Price's chicken coop. Enjoy you. God bless you. Wish you the best of luck in whatever the next endeavor is. Number two. This came in on the text line earlier. This came in from Chris Harmon. Will you guys say a quick word about James Owens, Army vet, Panthers fan, Roaring Riot member, passed away to cancer today. Rest in power. Excuse me. Rest in power there, Chris Harmon. That's again, that's according to Keep Pounding 84.
I second that.
Thirdly and lastly, to the fathers, enjoy Sunday. Happy Father's Day. You, Mr. Wilson, the rest of the fathers, appreciate you. Much respect. Remember, again, the BMs can be a challenge, I can imagine. It's not about them. It's about small people. Go hug your kids, text your kids, call your kids, man. Pray for your kids. That's all I got.
Billy, what you burning on, my guy?
You know, earlier in the show, I think Stan tried to get my expertise on a topic, and I took it personally, and I went hard at him, and I just want to apologize for that, Stan. It's been a rough show since that moment. I'm hoping I'll sleep tonight. If I don't, I'll take a nap tomorrow.
Your conscience kicking in when you try and gang up on old Fleet. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you didn't. So that was a genuine moment from Billy to Marlin. And then you started with the Norfleet narrative bleep of trying to make, like, you took it, you're a habitual line stepper. You didn't need to step the line there.
All right, so here's what I'll do. Billy to Marlin, I will remove one of the previously issued bygomas.
Okay.
Not all of the bygomas?
No, he deserved a few more of them for some other things, but
that's probably fair.
I'll remove one of them.
I'm burning on the big announcement from Unknown Brewing Company today. We already got the Price's Chicken Coop news earlier. Unknown is they're going to be transitioning their tap room and the restaurant there. They're going to be transitioning that to another brewery as they're going to focus specifically on the beer side of things. So I'm burning on Charlotte yet again, and I realize I'm the out-of-towner, so that there are people who can speak better to this, but like one of the first things I did here was I went to Price's Chicken Coop. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I did here was go to Unknown Brewing, right? And there are several other places, but I don't want to make it seem like they're closing down. I understand that some of the folks are getting paid. I understand there's a lot of reasons why these things are happening. But in a short time, these have become some of my favorite things, and I just hate to see it, even if it's what's best for them. So I guess in one way, I hate to see Unknown Brewing Company, the restaurant, going away. I hate to see Price's Chicken Coop going away, but I hope it means good things for those people because they meant a lot to the city of Charlotte, and they made it feel like home to me. And I'm just very thankful for those two establishments and many others that we've talked about incessantly on the show for making this place feel like home to me and become my home.
And the rate that Charlotte is growing, there's opportunity for new Charlotte staples to start and be a part, established tradition and all of that.
I know a guy who knows the people at State 48, so.
Oh, no, they're up and running. Trust me.
That's what I'm going to say.
Donovan, Andrew, I'm going to see y'all. I won't be this weekend. I'll see y'all next weekend.
Yeah, I need you to get me in there. I know you don't have anybody else asking you to get in there. I need you to help me get in there.
Holler at me offline. We'll work something out for you. I got you.
I didn't mean this weekend. I gotta work a couple remotes for that to work out there.
You'll be fine.
All right, let's go ahead and get to it. We go for the McQueetle. And 14 votes in here. Last place, Chet. Nobody loves Chet. I was right on that. In second to last place, Norfleet Narratives.
The people are with me.
No, I think they're over your bleep too. I think that's what this means. In second place, Booty. So no Goody Booty, no Booty Holzer, none of that. Number one, it is Bro. Here we go.
Let's try and look at it from his vantage point.
Bro.
Damn, it's cold in New York.
I'm
damn
here.
The Jets suck.
I'm here in Carolina.
Damn, I want to be out of here. Thank you for the Bojangles. No, I'm trying to be serious, and you're playing around. Hey, I'm being serious right now.
Hey, bro, it's me, Sam Darnold.
I see you just decided.
Hey,
you
bro,
want to be a
don't worry about that tip interception there, bro. I was going to tip it myself, bro.
Are you ready to be serious? The man, if you've never been in a bad situation, then you don't have an appreciation for being in a great situation. It seems like things are going all right. There are going to be some bumps in the road, even when we get to the regular season. Situationally, do they add up to wins?
Bro,
I
love the situation, bro.
Will you just focus?
You have a hard time focusing.
Bro.
And it really drives me insane.
Bro, let's get some grindage. Tossed it to the other team, bro.
Why do you make him sound like he's in a rock band or something? Sam Darnold is just a chill dude.
Yeah, chill dude. That's one way to put it. No, he sounds like a bro, and that's okay. If you want to be a California bro, I'm not telling you he's wrong, but every time I hear him, I hear Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I'm just like, that's the best thing Sean Penn will ever do.
Yo, you need to ease up on my man Sammy D. We're going to be all right. He's not going to be a pro bowler, I don't think, but he's going to be okay.
Can you imagine how insufferable I'm going to be?
Oh, if Sam Darnold makes the Pro Bowl.
No. If Sam Darnold goes the other way. If we get four games in and we're looking at each other and Sam Darnold is awful.
If it's four games, two touchdowns and 10 picks, two fumbles.
You know what's going to make me more mad than that? Like, I will not be here to tell people in Charlotte I was right. I'm going to be calling out every doof NFL analyst who, as we've started to see, has turned on Sam Darnold. When the trade happened, this is a great move by Carolina. Sam Darnold's got a chance, and now they're ranking him 29th in the NFL. Those doofuses, I'm gonna find some sound on them for the insincere hackery of selling Sam Darnold to the Carolina faithful. And then when he doesn't work it out, go with, I told you so.
Yeah, I worry about Sam. What's the date of the game? September 9th? Is that the game date, first thing?
Sure.
Call me when the Jets get here. Then I'll deal with Sam then.
You guys trying to start this weekend off or what?
Oh, sorry. We're over.
Bro,
Nick, by Goma.
I used to be a Jet, bro. Oh, man. Thanks to Billy. Thanks to Stan. Good stuff, buddy.
Enjoy the weekend. Father's Day.
We'll be back on Monday. Happy Father's Day, everybody out there. Until then, Nick for Stan and Billy saying stay safe and be good, Charlotte.